not all fear is wrong. I mean, fear is a God-given emotion, and fear is good. It is good when it's employed as a protective response to danger. And so I understand that. We should use some common sense, like we should wash our hands more often. We should do that anyway. We should constantly wash our hands. And I like the best joke of the whole coronavirus thing that I've seen is, for Texans, the prevention tip is wash your hands like you just got done slicing jalapenos for a batch of nachos and you need to take your contacts out. So do some little extra hand washing. I mean, that's common sense. If you're sick, and if you had a fever, stay home. I would advise that. I mean, you know, I know you want to be in church, and we want you to be in church, but if you're sick, stay home. And if you've had fever, stay home. And so we don't want to spread any kind of sickness at all. So we want to take precautionary measures, but don't go out and buy all the toilet paper that your car can hold. Don't buy all the hand sanitizer. I mean, that's going to an extreme. And by the way, I want our deacons to make sure and lock up all the toilet paper in the building after church. It's getting so scarce. I mean, we got to lock it, have a lockdown. You know, there's a pastor friend of mine in Springfield, and he put on Twitter that there was not one case in their county. And he's in Springfield, Missouri, and he said there's not one case of it, but they canceled the St. Patrick's Day parade next week, and he said that the Sam's Club is out of toilet paper. He said, come on, people. I mean, this is crazy. And I just saw before I came to church that the news was saying that the March Madness NCAA, they're not having any fans this year. And so no fans at this conference. You know, I imagine it'd be hard to play without fans cheering. It's going to be interesting to see how that goes. But I want to just give you an update. This was here just the other day. There were 754 cases in the whole entire United States. I mean, when you're looking at over 300 million people, that's not very many. 754 cases, 27 deaths. 15 have totally, out of that number, have recovered totally. There are 712 active cases. Only 8 are critical or serious out of that 700 and something. Only 8 are critical. And so 99% of the cases in the United States, out of that small number, are mild. They're not critical. Only 1.4% in critical condition. And they're saying that the people who have already have a compromised health, they're the ones that are at danger. So for the most part, most Americans are not at any danger. And the only way I can say anything different, and I'm quoting doctors, and you know, the only thing that would be different is if there's something that they're not telling us about it, which I don't think that that's the case. And, you know, it's such a, and I know that it's a lot different than the flu, but still, they're making contrast. I mean, the flu, 29 million people with the flu, 13 million doctor visits, 280,000 hospitalized, and over 16,000 deaths this year alone, just with the flu. I mean, it's by far worse than the coronavirus, and Trump even tweeted something to that effect that, you know, we have flu every year, and 27,000 to 70,000 deaths a year on average from flu every year. Nothing is shut down, he said. Life and the economy go on. So I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I don't know why it's, people are going crazy, but all these events kind of, on Monday, as I was just sitting and enjoying the sunshine in the backyard, I was just meditating on all these things. And there's a verse that came to mind, and it's not our text, but Luke 21:26, where it says, Jesus said, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. You know, in that passage, Jesus, he's talking about end time events, and I think mostly he's talking about the tribulation period, especially the great tribulation. Men's hearts are going to be failing for fear. And I think as we get closer to the coming of Christ, it's going to be like that. We're going to see more and more people's hearts failing for fear. It means their hearts are fainting because of fear. And as I said a moment in our announcements, we are at an advantage as a church and as God's people in this type of situation because people's more open to the gospel. Right. I mean, when hearts are failing for fear and fainting, they're looking for something to hang on to. They're seeking for some kind of hope for the future because it don't look very good for a lot of the world right now. I mean, the economy, it's really taken a hit because of what's happening. I have another friend that's a pastor, and he's a bivocational, and he flies all over the country for his business, and he said the airlines are empty. He said the ticket prices are going way up, and the airlines that he's flying are empty, and he said if it doesn't change soon, it's going to wreck his business. And so it's hurting our economy, and so there's a lot of people that are concerned, and we should be concerned. And however, tonight we're going to look at overcoming fear. Overcoming fear. God's children should not be overcome with fear. Look at this verse in 2 Timothy. I'll put it up here. 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, for God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So anytime the fear he's talking about here is we're going to talk about a little bit more about it, but it's a fear that torments. It's a fear that our text says torments. It's a fear that it's an agonizing kind of fear that robs us of joy and peace. And this kind of fear, God doesn't give us. He doesn't give us this kind of fear. And that's what the Bible says. He's not giving us that fear, but he gives us power. He gives us love. And he gives us a sound mind. And so as Christians, we shouldn't be acting like most people are acting. They're out of their mind. We should, if we're walking in the Spirit, we're going to have a sound mind. We're going to be wise about it. We're going to be smart. We're going to use common sense. But we're going to respond and not react. You know, a lot of people, they'll hear a news report, and they just react and panic. And that's not the wise thing to do. Calm down. Pray about it. Seek the Lord and respond with a sound mind. I mean, that's what we need to do as Christians. So our text tonight, let's read it. 1 John 4:18. John says here, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And so I'm not going to go into great depth in this verse, but we're going to be looking a little bit at some of the principles in this verse. But the first thing I want you to see tonight, we're going to look at understanding fear. We need to understand fear. If we're going to overcome fear, we first have to understand what fear is. What are we talking about? What is John talking about here? What kind of fear is he talking about in this verse? And because there are different kinds of fear. I mean, the Bible there are some kind of fears that we need that we'll talk about in a little bit. But this fear, what is he talking about? Well, the fear that John's writing about is one which involves torment. Because notice what he says in that third phrase there, because fear hath torment. Now, this is, as I said, it's an agonizing type of fear that robs the soul of all joy and confidence before God. I'm getting behind on my PowerPoint slide here. So the kind of fear John writes about torment, and so it robs us of all joy and confidence before God. That's the kind of fear he's talking about. It's a sinful kind of fear. God does not give that kind of fear. We should not have that kind of fear, a fear that robs us of our joy in Christ, that robs us of our confidence and trust in God. But that's the kind of fear that he is talking about. And so I want to ask this question, you know, I want to look at some examples of this kind of fear that torments. And because this kind of fear, it's sinful. If we're preoccupied with this kind of fear, it's sinful and it's detrimental to our walk with God. And here's what it is, really. Let me just put it out there. It shows a lack of faith in God, a lack of faith in God or trust in God. When we have this kind of fear, it reveals a lack of faith in God on our part. And so let's look at some examples of fear that torments. Well, the first one here is when man is feared above God. When man is feared above God. This is a kind of fear that there's a fear that God doesn't want us to have. He doesn't want us to fear man more than we fear God. And I'm just going to shoot off some verses. And in Genesis 26:7, you can write that one down, and I'm not going to turn there. But Genesis 26:7 is the story of Isaac when he went over where Abimelech was, and he feared the people. He feared that they were going to take his wife, and so he lied. The fear of man caused him to lie about his wife, and so he told them, "This is my sister." And then a little later, they saw Isaac sporting with his wife, and then they sent servants to him, "Hey, why did you lie to us?" And so fear of man is not good. The fear of man can cause us to lie. But the verse I do want you to look up is Isaiah 51. If you have your Bible, I want you to look at this. This is a very powerful passage about this kind of fear. God doesn't want us to have this fear. In Isaiah 51, in verse 12 and 13, Isaiah 51, look what he says in verse 12. And this is God speaking here. God is speaking to his people. He said, I am he that comforted you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass, and forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that had stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? So I want you to notice the Lord says, I, even I. He's emphasizing, he says it twice, I, even I, I'm your comforter. And he's saying, now why are you fearing man? Why are you fearing being afraid of a man who's going to die? He's just like the grass. He's not going to live forever. Like God is eternal. But he said, you forget the Lord, thy Maker, that stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth. And he says, and has feared continually every day. And so this is a legitimate question that he's asking his people. And we should ask ourselves, if we fear man more than God, we should be asking ourselves this. Why are we fearing man and not God? Why are we fearing man above God? You know, this kind of fear will cause us to compromise our stand for Christ. It'll cause us to compromise the truth of God. If we fear man more than we fear God. You know, I could give you some other examples, you know, in the New Testament. I think about in John 12, where the people that believed Christ, there were some priests, and I believe it's in verse 42, it says there were among the chief rulers many that believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And so there were some people that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, some of the chief rulers, but they refused to confess him because of the fear of man. The fear of man. Now let's stop and think about this as we get ready to go for outreach in the 21st. Let's not fear man. We shouldn't fear man. What can man do to us? We should fear God. We shouldn't be like these people that believed but didn't confess. We should be bold to confess Christ. And Another passage is in Luke 12, in verse 4 and 5. In Luke 12, Jesus says in verse 4, "And I say to you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that they have no more that they can do. But I forewarn you, whom you shall fear, fear him, which after he had killed had power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." So Jesus said, don't fear man, fear God. Fear God. And so the sinful type of fear that torments is a fear of man, putting the fear of man above the fear of God. But there's another kind of fear that's sinful, and that's when temporal things are feared more than eternal things. When temporal things are feared more than eternal things. You know, sometimes we can fear for our life. We can fear, like in this coronavirus, we can fear for our stock that we have in the stock market. We could fear what our future is going to be and for our kids and so on. I mean, there's a lot of things we can fear, temporary things that we fear. But I want you to look at something in Luke 12. And let's go back to Luke 12. I don't know if you're still there, but go to Luke 12. And I want you to see verse 7. Notice what Jesus said in verse 7. He said, "But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Now notice the next two words. "Fear not, therefore." "Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows." So, you know, we fear a lot of temporal things in life, but Jesus is trying to help us here, and his disciples saying, look, God has the hairs on your head numbered. He has all the hairs numbered. And some of us, it didn't give God too much problem to number our hairs. But but anyway, he tells us we're more valuable than these sparrows. We're more valuable. And when you get to verse 22, I wish we could read all these. We really don't have time, but if you'll jump down to verse 22. "And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If then you be not able to do that thing which is the least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Notice verse 32. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So he says twice in this passage, fear not. Fear not. We need to stop and remember there are some eternal things we should be living for. He talks about the kingdom of God here. And we shouldn't be putting all of our hope and trust in temporal things. We shouldn't be fearing temporal things. We should fear eternal. We should put our trust in God. And we should be living for the kingdom and realize that, you know, in spite of this scare that's going on, I mean, even if it was worse than it was, there's still no reason to fear. You know why? If you're a child of God, you're of more value than the sparrows. And he's watching over us. He's watching over us. He's going to take care of his own. I mean, even if we do die of the virus, boy, we're promoted to heaven. I mean, that's not a bad deal, is it? Now, let's look at the third kind. A fear that's sinful when fearing things we cannot change keeps us from taking care of things we can change. Sometimes we fear those things we can't change. There's a lot of things we can't change. A lot of things that happened that we can't change. But it's wrong when fear keeps us from taking care of things that we can change. And that's what this sinful fear that torments, what it does is it paralyzes us. You know, God doesn't want us to isolate ourselves and stay home and do nothing. He doesn't want that. I mean, He doesn't want you to be paralyzed. He wants you to do the things that you're supposed to do. And you know, there's a lot of scriptures we could look at. I just want to look at one in Isaiah chapter 8. In Isaiah chapter 8, in verse 12, he says this, "Say ye not a confederacy to all them whom this people shall say, a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid." Now, I want to just stop there. What he's talking about, a lot of people were talking about this army that was coming, and there was an army coming. And God is saying, listen, don't fear them. You can't control that. You can't control this army that's coming. Don't fear that. But in the next verse, he says, "Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, let him be your dread." And so there's some things we can't change, we can't control, but we can fear God, and we can do the things that he asks us to do. Amen. You know, let me just give you a quote here. With all the great fears that pervade and paralyze so many, there is often an absence of the very fear we must have, the fear of God. The fear of God. You know, all these people, they're paralyzed with this sinful fear that torments. And the reason why they're paralyzed with this sinful fear is because they lack the fear of God. The fear of God, someone has said, is the one fear that overcomes all other fears. Amen. If you fear God, then you won't fear man. If you fear God, you won't fear the temporal things. You won't fear the things you can't control. If you fear God, to see perfect love, what did he say in our text? He cast out fear. Now, we're going to get to that in just our next section here, but I just want to say one other thing about fear. It's in your notes. Fear is a manipulating tool of the devil. It's a manipulating tool of the devil. And I really believe the media is using fear to manipulate us. I really believe that. And you know what? We can manipulate others using fear. But we shouldn't do that. But that's a tool of the devil. And so let's be aware of that. So let's come to the second part. This is the most important part. We not just understanding fear, but overcoming fear. So we're going to look at overcoming fear. And to overcome fear, the first thing we need is to know and understand God. We need to know and understand God. If you're going to overcome this type of sinful fear, it's important that you know God. Amen. Not just know about him, but you have to know him. You remember the message that I preached a few weeks ago, "Behold Your God"? That's an example. I mean, if we can just look at who our God is and how great he is, how powerful he is, how mighty he is. And not only that, but look at how much he loves us. And he has such a steadfast love for his children that he will not let go. I mean, he's not going to let anything separate us from his love. And when we know him, and we know his character, and we know that he loves us, that he treasures us, man, that goes a long ways to overcoming fear. Let me give you an example. If you'll turn to Psalm 46. In Psalm 46, this is a song of trust. And I want you to notice that it starts out with some statements, some theology about God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So note that there's some theology here. There's some, the psalmist is putting that out there, that, listen, reminding us who God is and what He is to us, that God is a refuge. He's a place that we can hide in times of trouble. He's a refuge we can go to when there's fear, and we can run to the Lord. And He's not just our refuge, He's our strength. He gives us strength. And He says He's a very present help in trouble. He's not far away. When we call on the Lord, guess what? He's right there. Amen. He's a very present help. And not just a help, but He wants to help. And He's, you know, this verse is so important, because then you come to verse 2. Therefore, you see that word therefore? Based on who God is, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof. I mean, he's using a lot of hyperbole here. In other words, he's explaining this is the worst that it could ever get. I mean, we haven't seen this yet, have we? We haven't seen the earth removed yet. We haven't seen the mountains carried into the midst of the sea. I mean, what he's drawing a picture here is that if we're in the worst scenario, we're not going to fear. We're not going to fear. You know why? Because God is our refuge. He's our strength. He's a very present help in time of trouble. And see, if you know God and you understand God, you can overcome fear. You don't have to fear, no matter what's going on. You know, let's look at the second thing to overcome, is we need to fear God. We need to know and understand God, but then we need to fear God. You know, when you really get to know God and you get to understand Him, that's when you begin to fear Him. Now, this fear is not talking about some kind of cowardly type fear. It's not talking about a slavish type of fear of like someone that's a slave that's living in fear that his master is going to come and punish him. That's not the fear we're talking about. We're talking about the reverential fear of a son that a son would have of his father. It's that awesome respect is what it is. An awesome respect. You know, if we know God and understand who He is and how much He loves us, there's going to be an awesome respect for Him. I mean, to think that He created the heavens and the earth, remember those verses in Isaiah 40 we talked about, you know, He measured with the span of His hand, and, you know, I mean, it's just amazing. You think about how big God is and how great He is, how awesome He is, and it gives you an awesome respect for Him. An awesome respect. You know, in Deuteronomy, I was reading this on Monday. I was looking at all the verses in the Bible that had the word fear and the word heart. And this is one of them. That one in Luke 21:26 I mentioned earlier in the message was one as well. But in Deuteronomy 10:12, he says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul." Amen. So really, what does God require of His people? It's very simple. It's the same as what He required the Old Testament saints. It's the same, to fear. Just have an awesome respect for God, and to walk in all His ways, to love Him and serve Him with all the heart. I mean, that's what God wants. It's really pretty simple. And so if we're going to overcome fear, we need to know God. We need to understand God. We need to fear God. Fear God. There's one other verse I would look under this. 1 Samuel, this is another I found that had heart and fear in the same verse. 1 Samuel 12 and verse 20. "And Samuel, he said unto the people, fear not. You have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. So there you have fear and heart in this, that one verse. And then he goes on, he says, and turn you not aside. For then should you go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it had pleased the Lord to make you his people. I love verse 22. I love this verse. He said, the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. You know what? He has promised to never leave us or forsake us. And it's his name is at stake. He's not going to forsake you because, you know, you're good and because you're performing well. No, he says, I'm not going to forsake you for my name's sake. He's committed. He's committed himself to us. And that's what Samuel says. So he says, moreover, as for me, God forbid I should sin against the Lord and cease to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Look in verse 24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he had done for you. So when we stop and think of the great things, when we think of the great things God has done for us, when we know and understand God, all the great things he's done for us, what should it cause us to do? To fear him and serve him. To have an awesome respect of God. And you know, it's that fear that casts out all other fears. Now, let's go to the next one. We need to love God. We kind of touched on that in some of those verses, but let's go back to our text in 1 John 4. 1 John 4:18, where he's talking about love here. This John talks a lot about love in this epistle. And he says here, there's no fear in love. He said, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Notice verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. You know, we think of the awesome love of God for us, and just back up in verse 10 in that chapter, here in his love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. So that's love. It's not that we loved him, but it's that he loved us. The thing about he loved us, and we were sinners, and we're still sinners, and we're rebels, and God loves us. And so you think about his awesome love for us and his steadfast, loyal love that's unchanging, it's unending. And as we grow in our knowledge and understanding of that, of who God is, and we grow in that love, perfect love here, what does that mean? It means mature, complete. It means to reach the goal, the completion. That's what perfect means here. And so he's saying that he that feareth is not made perfect in love. In other words, if someone that has this sinful kind of fear, it's because they're not mature in their understanding of God's love. There are a lot of Christians like that today. A lot of Christians living in fear of torment. Thinking, well, maybe I'm not saved because I failed him. God's going to just strike me dead. I don't even deserve salvation because, no, we don't. None of us deserve it. But if you don't have a mature understanding of God's love and his salvation, you're not going to be able to conquer that fear. And so people that are not mature in that love, they fear. And he says, no, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So when we get to that place of maturity, of knowing God and having an awesome respect of God, and we start loving God, cast out fear. It cast out fear. Let's look at the last one. The next step is we need to trust and obey God. Trust and obey. You know, I don't know if you see the progression here, but the progression is, you know, this obedience. A lot of people struggle with obedience. A lot of people struggle with trusting God. It's like their fear has overcome them, and they're struggling with trusting God. And you know why? It goes back to point one. They need to grow in knowing and understanding God.
Amen.
That's why we try to encourage you. Be in church. Be faithful so you can come and grow in the Lord. Get in the Word of God. Spend time in the Word of God in prayer. Get to know God. That's why you hear that emphasized and preached over and over and over, because as we grow in our knowledge of God, as we understand God more, our love for God matures, our fear of God, trust and obey, it just follows those things. It just follows those things. You know, I was reading this morning in Psalm 11. That was, today is 11th. And so I started out this morning in Psalm 11, and I thought it was neat that having been studying this subject for a couple days, and then I come to this verse, Psalm 11, 1 says, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, and they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart." You know, there was people threatening David. His enemies were threatening. They had their arrow pulled back and ready to shoot him, and they were saying, "You need to flee as a bird to your mountain." But he says, "I'm not going to let fear conquer me. I'm not going to run because of the fear of my enemies, but I'm going to trust in the Lord." And look in verse 4. He says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold and his eyelids try the children of men." You see, he's reassuring himself that, hey, God knows. God is still on the throne. God is still watching. God is still omniscient. He still sees my enemies. I'm just going to trust in the Lord. I'm not going to run out of fear. I'm not going to be a coward and run from my enemies. I'm going to face my fears and trust of God. So God, in this psalm, David is telling us that he's omniscient, that he's always beholding us. We read Psalm 46 a moment ago, and there we learned that God is always near to help us in time of trouble. We should trust in him. You know, look in Psalm 56. Here's another good one that I came across today. Psalm 56, verse 3. Psalm 56, 3 says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee."
Amen.
What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Why? Well, the next verse, "In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me." And he, you know, you just read these psalms and he starts talking about all that God is and all that God, you know, has done for him. And so that's where his trust is. It's rooted because he knows and he understands God. He has a reverential fear of God and he has a love of God. And so he's saying, "I'm not going to fear. I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust and obey." You know, I think of the verse that we all are familiar with, Romans 8:28. But we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. You know, God is in control of every aspect of our life.
Amen.
He is sovereign. I think of Philippians 4:19 also, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." He promised to provide all of our needs as we seek to please him. I mean, so you think of all these truths, well, all these truths that we learn about God and who he is, it should cause us to trust and obey. And that's how we conquer fear, because as I said, fear is just this sinful fear. It reveals a lack of trust in God.
Amen.
If you're fearing your future, if you're fearing, you know, I don't know what it is that you're fearing, but if you are over, now, like I said, there's some healthy fear. God put that in us to flee from danger. There are some healthy fears, but if you're preoccupied with it, or you're being paralyzed by it, it's sinful. And you're not trusting God. And you need to overcome it. And the only way you can overcome it is go back to your theology of God. Go back to studying who God is, what He's done for you. Go back and look at His promises. And when you do that, it's going to give you an awesome respect of God. Amen. And then that's going to lead to a love of God, where you're going to love Him because of His love for you. And then that's going to lead to a trust, where you're just going to trust Him. You're just going to rest in Him. Like David said, I'm not going to flee. You can tell my soul to flee, but I'm not going to flee because I'm putting my trust in the Lord. And that's what we need to do. In light of everything that's happening, as God's people, of all people, we should be people that are not overcome with fear. We should be people that have hope, because we know God. We know God. We know that He's in control. The media is trying to control us. The media is trying to manipulate us. The media is trying to get us to fear and to panic for whatever reason. I don't know. But that's the devil's work, to manipulate us. Don't allow that. Stay close to the Lord. Trust in the Lord and obey. Trust and obey. Or there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Let's stand and we'll pray. Our dear Father, tonight, we're so grateful for who You are, Lord, and for Your Word, Lord, that reveals Your character and Your power, Your omniscience, that reveals Your mercy and Your grace toward us, Your love that is steadfast and that's continual, that's unending. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that Your Word reveals all these things about You so that we can have a fear of You, that we can walk in Your ways and serve You and to love You with all of our hearts and to trust You. Lord, as You've said in Your Word, You've not given to us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and sound mind. God, help us. Help us to walk in the Spirit. Help us not to be overcome with fear, but help us to rest in You and to trust in You. Lord, I know You've got it. You're in control. Lord, we do pray for our country. We do pray for our community. Lord, we don't want to see the virus spread. We don't want to see lives lost. Lord, we know You're in control. We're trusting You. But Father, in the midst of all this, help us to be faithful, to trust and obey. Help us to take the gospel to those that are fearing. Their hearts are fearing, failing because of fear. Lord, help us to take advantage of this opportunity. Lord, we thank You for Your Word again tonight. Thank You for the message, and pray that You'd use it to encourage each and every one here tonight. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you, and we'll see you Sunday.